Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you for giving us wisdom, discernment, direction. Thank you for what you're doing in these days, Lord. It's great changes. Also, we know there's great chastenings coming. So thank you, Father, for giving us wisdom. Amen. All right, we're going to continue with the dragon is cast down, number 4. And we're going to start off with the revelation that we call There's Safety on the Narrow Road. Claire Pinar got this on 4/17/22. I believe this is Claire representing the bride. I dreamed I was at a beach area representing the seed of Abraham through faith, who are as the sands of the sea, according to the Lord. There were 3 changing stalls. My children were in the middle changing stall with some other children. I believe the middle changing stall represents changing our actions. Romans 13:14 is, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, like a garment, right? And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, so like the bride's Revelation 19 revelation about her garment, which was luminous, you know, we have to put on the garment of the Lord. And these children represent those who are being raised up by the bride. The middle stall, she said, represents the narrow path. Yes, I agree with that. And Matthew 7:14 says, For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. Well, okay. The changing stall on the left was completely derelict and looked like it had been bombed or abandoned. Yes, the world has no ability to put on Jesus, right? And these represent the goats that Jesus put on his left. They are reprobated, okay? Once inside the middle changing stall, it looked like a bunker. Even though it was only a little lower than ground level by about 1 or 2 feet. It had a blue shower curtain, although the water supply had been turned off. Yet we understand that. But I knew my children were already cleaned up. That's good. Praise the Lord. So the changing stall on the right side had a few young kids in it, but they were crying, malnourished, and dirty. I was trying to help them come into the middle stall, but they would not or could not, so I stopped trying. Well, the stalls to the right represent those who are in bondage to apostate religion and not well fed or sanctified. Malnourished and dirty, they said, okay? And that reminded me of Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. See, she tried, but she couldn't get through to him. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I also will forget thy children. That seems to be the case in that stall. Proverbs 2:23-27 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a wayward mouth. In other words, say what God says. And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Make level the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left hand. Remove thy foot from evil. That seems to be the case here. And then I heard enemy fire all around me, and I realized I was in a war zone. Well, that's where we're headed. The Christians are in the midst of a war between the deep state and the alliance, right? And, of course, between God and the devil. And so I knew I needed to retrieve something from out in the open near the water. And I told my children, I'm coming right back. They were very scared. Well, the spiritual children of the bride are seeing a war that much of the world does not know. And they know what is coming. So much of the world don't even know there's a war going on. Okay. My oldest daughter had tears in her eyes and said, please be quick. I ran to where there were palm trees on the beach, and just as I found what I was looking for, I saw these black, red, and white fighter jets. Black, red, and white. Raining down on us. Well, according to SidMartinBio.com, the colors of red, white, and black were chosen to reflect the philosophy of a new nation, the principles for which it stood, its hopes and aspirations, and the nation's supreme determination to preserve the harmony and unity of spirit which underlie the cultural diversity of our people. These fighter jets represent the war between the deep state and the alliance to bring onto the world stage their different ideas of a new world order. Whether it's the Great Reset or the New Age of Aquarius, the 1,000 years of peace, right? I realized then that I was looking for a group of people, not for something. They were in SWAT clothing. Well, these are the Christians who fight for a kingdom that is not theirs. You understand? They're out there fighting for the world, but Lord forbid us to fight in that manner. And as we see, this always leads to death. Matthew 26:52 says, thus saith Jesus, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. That's pretty certain. And I knew I needed to help them get to the safety of the middle changing stall. I started shouting directions at them and pointing to the changing stall, hoping that they would follow me. But it was too late. The bullets and the enemy fire fell down on everyone around me. And in the dream I prayed, Psalm 91, and said, quote, no evil will befall me, unquote. Over and over. And I knew I was on a God-sent mission, so he would have to protect me. Amen. I ran back to the stall, or the changing room, or bunker, with mortar and bullets literally flying everywhere around me. It was miraculous that I did not get hit. I don't think anyone else survived. Well, most of the apostate Christianity does not believe Psalm 91, which the bride was standing upon. I never saw a single new face around me. It felt futile until I exercised my faith and gave God glory for his protection in the situation. And then as I went into the bunker a second time, the scene inside changed and I was cooking a meal in front of a white stove. Obviously, everybody got to be fed the good word of God, right? I had a red tomato paste pasta dish on the stove and a lamb roast in the oven. Well, Psalm 91 is because of the Passover lamb who bore the curse for us. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So what most of Christianity does not understand is Jesus bore the sin, and he bore the curse of the sin too. And so they do without. Well, above the stove was a white clock on the wall that said 2:30, and I knew we needed to eat at 6 p.m. My stepmom, representing the apostate church, we believe, came in and said that I would need to go into the left bunker, where the extra provisions were. So they had stored up over there, huh? I didn't go immediately. I did not want to listen to her, and I knew I had all the ingredients I needed. So we don't need to go into the left bunker, which is representing going back to Egypt or trusting in the arm of the flesh for a provision. Then it was already 5:30 p.m., and I had only 1 hour left before dinner. So what we're saying here is we're running out of time to get under the blood of the Passover lamb. I then went into the left bunker, and I saw my stepmom there. Well, this can get us in trouble because we are departing from the Word of God in this way, right? Well, she was talking in secret to a man dressed in black playing on a piano. Everything was dark, and one wall was painted a very dark red or maroon. And I knew he hated me, as he said it over and over, but so sweet and melodic was his voice that I almost did not notice what he was saying. He also said many other things that I cannot remember word for word, but the themes were homosexuality, transgenderism, racism, poverty. It was vile. Well, this represents the spirit of the Judas goat that leads the sheep to slaughter. Remember, the left was where the goats were, right? And Judas goat, that's his job, is to lead the sheep to slaughter. The man playing the piano's name means a pistol, especially a gun or revolver. He was planning something very evil, and he had already infiltrated the right bunker because that's where my stepmom lived. So that's right and left. We're told not to go on the right or the left, right? Stay down the narrow road, right? Judas and the faction are left-wing traitors. Okay, the apostate church has been infiltrated by them. She said, I wondered how to get out of the bunker before he saw me. And then I was suddenly translated back to the middle bunker, and I only had 15 minutes left to get the meal ready. It seemed to be ready at exactly the right time to save the people in the middle bunker, of course. It was different in the middle bunker now. It was solemn because this is a Passover. It was solemn, and I was razor-focused, and I saw the time tick away past 6:30, and at 6:45, I thought, surely it must be ready now. I knew everything could gently simmer until the appointed time without anything burning or drying out. I think I was waiting for someone to arrive before we ate. This could be the man-child anointing. Amen. At first, I thought it was my stepmother who I was waiting for, but then I was told in my spirit that she had caused many crashes in the war, and I realized she was part of the fighting or people of war on the outside. Yes, a lot of God's people don't know that that is out of bounds for us. The apostates war on the side of the world and against each other and against the elect of God, and they cause many spiritual casualties, just like these crashes, right? Then I had a vision of her as an army tank, and she was rampaging over many roads, pools, parks, inflatable pool toys. Well, inflatable pool toys represent the hope of the gospel that keeps the young children from drowning under the curse, right? And I knew she wouldn't come back in the middle bunker, and I was relieved by that. Yes, indeed, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I woke up with the meat still not eaten and the guest still not there, and I believe the guest I was waiting for was the man-child. Yeah. And this is the verse I received by faith at random, Jeremiah 16:5. For thus saith the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to lament, neither bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, even loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, pretty accurate answer for by faith at random, right? So I asked the Lord who those in the middle bunker are, and received by faith at random, Jonah 1:14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. And she said, Jonah represents Jesus. Yeah, who had to be sacrificed so that those in the boat could be saved, right? If you remember correctly, Jonah's boat. And the people in the boat could represent those in the ark of his protection, because our sins have been placed on him because of Jesus' proclamation in Matthew 12:38-40. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. They sacrificed Jonah, and they were saved. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Okay, a third time I was speaking with the Lord about this dream, and I asked for a text by faith at random for what I represent. And my finger landed on, quote, resurrection of Jesus, unquote. From 1 Peter 1:3, in context 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, unto an inheritance incorruptible. It's indestructible, incorruptible, right? And undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who by the power of God are guarded through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, of course, those in the middle bunker were spared, saved. They were on the narrow road. They didn't turn to the right. They didn't turn to the left. And they had a Passover lamb. A lot of people don't know about the Passover lamb. That's the sad part. Okay, then we got this revelation here. The dragon attempts to devour the man-child. And this was given to Claire also, 4:16-22. In this vision, I was looking up at the sky, and the Lord showed me a newborn baby boy's heel. And I saw a snake head hovering over behind the baby. Then I saw a vaccine or injection, and two men in wizard outfits on either side holding the baby up, saying Calliope over and over again. Well, Genesis 3 and 15 says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman," talking to the serpent, "and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head," that's the head of the serpent, "and thou shalt bruise his heel." Well, the Satanists are sacrificing the children as in the days of Moses and Jesus, both man-child types. In Jesus' time, Herod, who was an Edomite, an offspring of Esau, who hated his chosen brother, right, sacrificed all the babies to get the promised seed, but of course failed. Dragon is trying to use witchcraft and pharmakia in the form of venom to try and kill the man-child. So this, of course, is many revelations that are coming out now. We can see very clearly that they're once again trying to kill the babies to wipe out the chosen seed. I searched the name online, and I've heard it before, as this is what came up. Calliope means beautiful voiced. It's from kalos, meaning beauty, and ops, meaning voice. Calliope was the most prominent of the Muses, the nine sister goddesses who in Greek mythology presided over poetry, song, and the arts and sciences. Well, these Satanists are telling people to follow the science. Of course, they've hidden the science, but to their grave mistake, it's being discovered. But what the science shows is that they are sacrificing the babies with their pharmakia. And the people who trusted in God are far better off. They're not initially infected by the vaccine, although they can be secondarily infected by other people who have taken the vaccine. And again, you still have to believe in God and trust in God even after you have skipped their vaccine. Okay. I asked the Lord for a verse by faith at random and received Amos 5:14. "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so, Lord, the God of hosts will be with you, as you say." Yeah, it reminds me of Exodus 15:26. "And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians." So what happened at the Passover? It went over the Israelites who were under the blood and who had sacrificed the lamb and believed and trusted that that lamb would save them, and it hit the Egyptians. "For I am the Lord that healeth thee," he says. So it's still the same today. You know, 1 Corinthians 5 tells us Jesus is our Passover lamb. He's already been sacrificed. In other words, we're supposed to believe we have a Passover. Okay, this one I'm going to share with you about the coming Prince of the Covenant, and it's from me. The seven-headed, ten-horned dragon and beast of Revelation are making this covenant with many in these two phases. The seed of all seven world ruling heads, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and Rome, and revived Rome, which is of the ten toes of this beast in Daniel's vision, are making this covenant through their principalities. All of these beasts had a dominion that passed away. In other words, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, all the way down, their dominion passed away. But their seed continued to our day. In other words, they still have a dominion. Okay. Daniel 7 and 12. And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And this is the season and time. The most noticeable in our day as Babylon Deep State falls, which we're watching, and of course they're not through killing people. They're going to take a big swipe at apostate Christianity. So the most noticeable is Media Persia, which is now spiritually under Cyrus Trump. Okay, as we said from the beginning, in the first phase, and Greece, which is the next phase after Media Persia, the matured Antichrist beast under Alexander and his generals were that type today. So there's going to be a big division in this last beast. And because the Lord's going to go forth and fight as he fought in the day of battle, and he did it by dividing the enemy. Okay. So, and this is the second phase. Greece is the second phase. It's the type of the Antichrist. Many people point out the Antiochus Epiphanes and the Alexander and all that. They point out these as types of Antichrist, and they are. The beast is more matured than the dragon, okay? So this is the second phase, Greece. And in the middle of the tribulation, this beast is going to make war on the saints. In other words, the pendulum is going to swing back in the other direction. Of course, so much for the 1,000 years of peace, right? The super principality over all is Rome, because there are now the 10 toes representing the whole world's continental divisions. So there is a principality above the individual principalities that are at war at this particular time. Media Persia, Greece, not Greece yet, but Media Persia is conquering Babylon, right? The majority of God's people will not recognize the beast and subsequently the covenant because of traditional carnal letter interpretations. Their patriotism is going to make them overlook this one, I feel. Daniel 9 and 26 says, "The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined." Like as in abomination of desolations, right? Well, notice that the prince whose people destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D., is also he, in the same sentence, who makes the covenant with many 2,000 years later. Why are people missing this? "And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week." The covenant is here. The other part of the verse is back there. Okay? 2,000 years. So the prince here is either a 2,000-year-old man, which we don't have many of those around, and Trump is not, or he is resurrected before the first resurrection. And that's not possible either. And that's what John saw after the tribulation. Or he is a spirit prince, a principality, we call them. Since the first conclusions are obviously not possible, we're left with a spirit prince who has no problem being around 2,000 years later. Okay? And here's proof of these princes being spirit or demon principalities. All of the other princes in Daniel's text before and after were either angel princes or demon princes who are called principalities in Ephesians 6 and 12. And of the three evil principalities mentioned, the first ruled over the Persian beast, and the second ruled over the Grecian beast, and the third ruled over the Roman beast, which was the prince that shall come, whose people destroyed Jerusalem in Daniel's vision. So, in Daniel's vision, a man clothed with linen, who is described like Christ, said in 10 and 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days." Now, everybody knows this is a principality. So why not the one before and after, right? "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes," we know Michael is the Lord's chief prince, right, "came to help me." And verse 20 says, "And I returned to fight with the prince of Persia," the next principality. "And when I go forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come." Okay, so now we see that what's going on individually is a one kingdom conquering another, just like it was back in the letter, in the original. But first we know that all prophecies are fulfilled literally and then spiritually. So now we can see, when we identify these characters, who's winning right now. It's the Medo-Persian Empire under Cyrus, who conquered the Babylonian beast, the deep state, and used their money to finance the rebuilding of the kingdom of God, and sent God's people to go and rebuild. Oh. So after the principalities of Persia and Greece came the principality of Rome. The sixth beast, head of the world, was Rome, which ceased as a world-ruling kingdom and is being revived in the tribulation as Daniel's 10 toes of iron and clay, and is over the 10 continental divisions of the earth. This is what they're putting together now, folks. They're doing away with individuality in the nations. This alliance is doing this, okay? And they're putting together a one world order. Uh-huh. So these are the 10 horns of the dragon, and then the beast of the 7-year tribulation. If it came after the other beast, why is it time during its time during the whole tribulation? Because in Daniel's vision of the world beast, the iron representing Rome went all the way from the original Rome in the vision of the man, the beast, right, went all the way from the thighs of original Rome to the end of time in the 10 toes of iron and clay. It covered that whole region. So we're still seeing these individual beasts conquering one another, but there's one over them all. Daniel 2 and 33 says, "Its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay," which are the clay, of course, was never a part of the original Roman Empire, but of the earth still, right? "And the iron legs representing the Roman Empire were the longest part of the image." They covered that whole time. So they are being superimposed over this battle of the beasts, because they are shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. They're overruling all of these beasts and bringing about this. So some say, no, Rome died, you know, in Revelation 13 and 3. "And I saw one of his heads as though it had been smitten unto death, and his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast." Oh, isn't it look like it's happening now? Yes, it does. Okay, but no, it didn't die. Notice it was as though it died, but it was healed instead and continued to the end of time. Why do we know this? Well, because we know it doesn't fit with Daniel's vision of the beast. From the head of gold to the silver to the brass on down, all the way to the end of time, that Roman Empire that was thought to be gone has actually been there. All the way to the end of time, the iron is there, to the 10 toes, the 10 continental divisions of the earth. The Roman Empire is being revived in our day, not resurrected. Its principality, who never died, is returning in our day to make a covenant. And he, that's the one who destroyed Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. He, the same person. It's in the same verse. He's either 2,000 years old. Since he is 2,000 years old, we know he's a principality. So we see that the life of the Roman Empire overlapped the individual types in another parable of Media Persia, which was Cyrus, Trump's dominion, and Greece, which is the full Antichrist, beast, as opposed to the dragon, right? And we also see here that God's angel prince, Michael, warring with these demon princes. Daniel 12:1 says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people." The great prince. He's a principality on God's side. And notice that just as Michael is a prince from heaven over a body inhabited by Christ the King, so this principality is returning from the abyss to rule over a beast body inhabited by Satan, a king. Revelation 17:8, "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and to go into perdition," or destruction. Yes. So this last beast with the seven heads represents the seed of all the previous beasts in a one new UN body. I'm calling it a new UN body because it is a United Nations that's coming together to bring down Babylon. And because the old UN body is dying with its deep state leadership. Okay. And this is the body of all lost mankind, this beast, whose spirits and souls are born from the abyss through the seed of hordes of demons from the abyss. John 8:23 says, "And he said unto them, You are from beneath, I am from above." Ooh, he was talking to the religious leaders. Oh, they're part of it too? Yes. "I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world." Okay. Here's a revelation. We called it, "You Are Mine. Prepare for Eternity." And this is Debbie Finsky. She got this on 3/28/22. Word from the Lord. "My dear children, as you raise your hands this night in worship to me, and from now on, when you worship me, see me placing my hands against yours, and hear me whisper in your ear that I am doing as I am doing now. You are mine. Do you hear me? You are mine. And do not forget this, though times are coming very soon when much good is going to abound and thrive, as much evil will be repressed by my spirit very soon, following a mighty work through my people, yes, even through you, my people." Because the spiritual warfare that we are doing, saints, is what's really bringing this down, okay? the dragon is cast down because of the saints. Much evil will soon spring up, taking so many by surprise, and it will abound greater and greater. But you who are truly mine, always seeking after me, following in my footsteps of holiness, you will not be surprised, for you know me, and you know me more closely, more fervently, and more intimately. You know my words I have spoken to you, and you know that I know you, because I know those who are truly mine. You will be safe in me. I will shield you, my holy people. I will be your all in all, your protector, your provider, your guide, your sustainer, and your strength. And what a light you will be, for you will shine forth the light of my presence from within you, always around you, and I will use you for my namesake, and that will be our joy. So those of my people who are preparing themselves, even as I see you are preparing yourselves, getting dressed up right in the middle of change room, right? This side of eternity, for eternity will know the end of their earthly life, even before I take you all into eternity with me, for you have forsaken this earthly life for the heavenly and the eternal. Yes, I am watching, and I am waiting, and I say to you, I know you. And already I welcome you into eternity that we, even now, share in together. What a love life we share. I am in you, and you are in me. And I say to you, you are of those who will eternally be mine, and will share in the joy of heaven that I have eternally prepared for you. But still my heart is drawing, still calling, still waiting for many who are not yet preparing themselves for eternity. Well, amen. This is so true. And with this one we called, He Picked Me Up. It was given to Merlene Laughlin on 3/23/22. She said, last night around midnight I had a dream in which two armed, draped in white, representing the arms of the Lord, reached down from the sky and lifted me up from the bed. You got that? Two of these arms draped in white coming down out of heaven and lifted her off the bed. And I saw my legs dangling as though I was a child. I felt love and care as the Lord lifted me up in His strength, since I had none. I actually felt the lift off, and at the same time I felt comfort and care. Then I rested in Him as I woke up. And by faith at random I got John 3:31. He that cometh from above, those arms came down from above, right, is above all. And he that is of the earth is of the earth. And of the earth he speaketh. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And by faith at random, my husband Don got Psalm 108 and 5, in context 4 through 6. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth, that your beloved may be delivered. Of course, the arms were lifting her off the earth, right? Save with your right hand and answer me. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't God awesome? Well, we're seeing the warfare going on out there, and we've heard the words of the Alliance. We've heard, there's a whole lot of New Age stuff mixed in with the Alliance. They're actually believing that some of this is Christianity, but obviously it's not Christianity. Anybody that reads the book of Revelation and knows that it has a perfect numeric pattern in it knows that we're not headed towards 1,000 years of peace. Now, after that tribulation in the book of Revelation, there is 1,000 years of peace, but the peace is for the righteous. It's not for the world. There is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. So there's a lot of confusion out there. The people running the government don't realize what true Christianity is all about. And when they do, they may not like us. But at any rate, and of course, the New Age people don't like us. They're just putting up with us for now because they need us. Okay. However, as we saw earlier, many people in Christianity do not know how to fight spiritual warfare, as in the book of Revelation, the saints cast down Satan, the dragon, to the earth. But it wasn't these do-gooders that was doing this. It was the saints who had authority to do this. Saints means sanctified ones. They have authority to cast down the dragon, and it shall be done. It is being done, okay? And the dragon, of course, tried but failed to devour the man-child, and then, of course, went after the woman and couldn't do anything with the woman because the man-child was raising up the woman in the wilderness to have the same authority. So the dragon turned to go after the remnant of her seed, because he couldn't reach the other two groups, okay? So we're in this. We're starting down this road here, folks. It's happening. Under our very eyes, it's happening. So don't believe, let me say first of all, don't believe completely either side. You know, I've given reports of what the Alliance proclaims is coming. And I want to explain to you that they fight in a worldly way. They are using disinformation as regards to the timing in order to provoke the deep state to try to stop this GCR, because it's going to plundering them. It is plundering their whole ability to steal from the world. Okay. And that's good. So it's plundering them. And so every time they say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, you know, well, just know that they're going to do that, but they're not going to do it when they say they're going to do it. They're trying to provoke the enemy to stick their head up and make attempts to stop this thing. And of course, when they do, they know exactly. They have the NSA. I'm talking about the Alliance has the NSA. They know everything that's going on. And when people stick their head up, it's whack-a-mole. That's what it is. It's whack-a-mole. So they go out and get them. And then they might tell you a little while later, okay, it's going to start now. Let me say, these things are happening. Most of the things that they're talking about are happening, and some of them have already happened. Okay? But they're provoking the enemy to try to stop them. So you can't pay a whole lot of attention to their dates. But they're saying that this GCR is going to do a complete flip before May the 1st, I believe they said. We'll see, because there is a law out there that it has to be completed at that time. So, once again, they've said things before and later come back and given a different reason for why it's continuing on. At any rate, what they're saying, the things that they're saying that they're doing, they are doing. Okay. And that's because the Lord, if you read Isaiah 45, you'll see that the Lord gave this dominion to Cyrus to conquer Babylon and for the purpose of rebuilding the kingdom, giving us a rest period, which may just be the beginning 3.5 years of the tribulation period before the beast makes war on the saints. So basically Trump is giving us time, as we had one revelation a few years ago given to us, that it was pointing towards the fact that he was giving us time. Time for what? Time to rebuild the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the people. It's the people. They have to come in, and they have to be retrained, being transformed by the renewing of their minds to be the people of God. It's not just those that stick their toe in the door. It's those who are sanctified, separated from the world and the worldly, unto Christ, to walk in his steps, both spirit, soul, and body. And they don't recognize that this born again thing is spirit, soul, and body. They recognize that when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, that you're in there, you're a shoe-in, you know. But Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And we have to endure a crucified life. This crucified life is putting to death the old man so that the new man can live. You know, there are people that refuse this death to self crucifixion. And so they won't take part in the kingdom of heaven because they're not going to bear fruit. I say that when people first come into the kingdom, they have a born-again spirit. And as long as they walk by faith, their faith is accounted as righteousness. So you see, even babies can come into the kingdom. Their faith is accounted as righteousness. Okay, but as you walk by faith, you gain in knowledge and in wisdom and in strength and in the image of Jesus Christ. And no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. Did you know that? Nobody's going to heaven but the real body of Jesus Christ. And the real body of Jesus Christ is inhabited by Jesus Christ. And we know what he looks like. We've read the Bible. We've read the New Testament. We know what he looks like. He's not the remade Jesus of the apostate religions that we know of today. He's not anything to do with that at all. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. So we should give up on apostate religion. That's that that stepmother that always wanted to be in the wrong box, right? Never in the middle where they belong, down the middle of the road where we are not to turn to the right nor turn to the left. She was constantly turning in both directions. Okay, so we know all of this is a test to see who truly are the people of God. All of this is a test. So you can step into it as a baby. You must continue to walk by faith. And that faith can't be in a worldly institution like these apostate religions. You can come into the image of those preachers, but you can't come into the image of Christ unless you look in the Bible and see what he looks like, what he does, what is his ministry, on and on and on. This is what they deny. And if you stay in them, you will die. And you will not come into the image of Jesus Christ 30, 60, and 100-fold. So, Father, we ask that your people would have their eyes opened. And we know you're going to do that. We know there's going to be a great restoration of your people who have gone into religious Babylonish captivity. There's going to be a great deliverance for your people. But I say not that all of those in there are your people. And this is being revealed these days through factions. who are his people and who are not. So we have a short time left for the people that are out there to come into the center changing stall and be preserved from the judgments that are going to come. They are coming. Don't let anybody tell you they're not. There's a lot of people in the alliance that are saying it's over, blah, blah, blah. That's what it is, blah, blah, blah. And then they don't believe in the book of Revelation, but the book of Revelation has a perfect numeric pattern in it, just like all of the 66 books. Now they've discovered that was hidden in the Vatican, 777 books. And then they're saying they're going to print the whole Bible. Don't believe a word they say. They don't know what determines the text of the Bible. Numerics is God's proof of the text of the Bible. Don't listen to what they say. Don't buy one of their goofy Bibles. Forget it. They don't know what they're doing. They're either lost or apostates. And they must be saved and born from above. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for what you've shown us today about the war that's going on out there. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. And continue, Lord, to open our understanding, because we could have some things wrong and we want to know what's right. We ask you for truth, Father. We have no hope of gaining truth without you and your gift. So we ask it in the name of Jesus, and we thank you so much, Father. Amen. All right. God bless you, saints. Thank you for joining us today.